The title of the message today is Song of Courage. Let me start with this story. There was an article in the Los Angeles Times Syndicate written by columnist Paul Harvey in 1989 about a person in Ohio by the name of Ray Blankenship. The story goes on that on a wet and miserable morning in Ohio, Ray Blankenship was making breakfast. When he looked out the window into the open storm water drain that ran alongside his house, what he saw terrified him. A two-year-old baby girl being swept down the drain. He also knew that further downstream, the ditch disappeared with a roar underneath the road. Ray ran out the door and raced along the ditch, trying to get ahead of the little girl. Then he hurled himself into the deep, cold water. When he surfaced and was able to grab the child's arm, they tumbled end over end because of the water's current. Within about 1 meter of the drain going under the road, Ray's free hand felt something protruding from the bank. He grabbed it and held on for dear life. If I can just hang on until help comes, he thought. By the time the fire department rescuers arrived, praise God, they pulled Ray and the girl to safety. Both were treated for shock because of the experience. And on April 12, 1989, Ray Blankenship was awarded the U.S. Coast Guard Silver Life-Saving Medal. The award was fitting for what he did, right? But what people did not know is that Ray Blankenship was at even greater risk to himself. You see, the amazing thing about this story is that Ray Blankenship does not even know how to swim. Amazing. Unfortunate and difficult situations like these can either cause a person to cower down in fear, or just like in this story, can cause a man to find the courage to confront his fears and do what's seemingly impossible to accomplish and overcome. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "You gain courage and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look at fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, I lived through this horror, I can take the next thing that comes along. You must do the thing you think you cannot do." One thing that all of us have in common, regardless of our nationality, our economic status, or our age, all of us will be facing life's uncertainty, changes, crisis, or challenges that may bring fear and discouragement in our lives. How many agree? It is how we respond to these life's dilemmas that will determine the outcome. Are we going to respond by trusting in God who will help us find hope and courage in facing our circumstance? Or are we going to allow fear and discouragement to determine our response, causing us to panic, which can lead to unwise decisions? How many of that to be true? That if we allow the feeling or the emotions of fear to take over, instead of praying, we panic. Instead of doing the other way of praying first, instead of panicking, what we do is we panic first and then we pray. And by the time we know it, the situation is much worse than it was before. Because we make decisions based upon what we are feeling at that moment. So first question we're going to ask ourselves today is that what are the main causes why people get discouraged or fearful? The first main cause that I want to submit to you this morning is what I call life's what if. Look at your neighbor and say, what if? What if? Look and say, what if, right? I call this life's uncertainties. This is the kind of fear that paralyzes people in living their lives today. They are the ones who cannot enjoy the moment because of their concerns about the future. How many of you know people like this? You know, they cannot enjoy the party because they're worried about who's going to clean the dishes afterwards. Example of this kind of fear is the fear of death or the fear of failing. They're the ones who miss out on life's opportunities because they are constantly asking themselves, what if I fail? What if it doesn't work? Whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, we will face uncertainties in life on a daily basis. And how we respond to it will determine the actions that we will do in our lives today. Now, let me just say this to you. I'm not bragging or anything, but it's something that is part of my testimony. You know, growing up, I never really was a very studious individual. I hate studying. You know, when I was not a Christian, I was in high school, I get by just trying to charm my way. Although I'm not charming, I try to. And I would try to pay off my teachers in the Philippines, this, just to let you know, this is legal. I'm just joking. Just give them a bottle of whatever to your teachers and they'll pass you for some reason, you know. And I never really enjoyed reading. I never really enjoyed studying. Not until when I gave my life to Jesus and then things changed. I just want to report to you, and I thank God for this. I never thought that I would be accepted in a school that I was looking up to. I just want to let you know, and I thank God for your prayers. I've been accepted to Fuller Seminary. Trying to finish my degree in Masters in Masters of the Universe. No, I'm just joking. in Bible and Theology. And believe me when I say this, I never thought that I would be accepted. And I just thank God because, you know, I just took that step of faith. You know, if I fail, I fail. If they don't accept me, they don't accept me. Fine. Who are you? No, I'm just joking. But I took the chance. Opened my computer, put my name in the application, and the rest is Dodge's referral. Because thank you, Dodge, for that referral. I think, thank you for lying for me, okay? Thank you so much. I'm just joking. Thank you so much. No, but I thank God for it. So I give God all the glory and the honor. But please pray for me. It's another thing to get, you know, it's another thing to be accepted. It's another thing to maintain it, right? So I mean, if I fail in the long run, and as long as I got accepted, I mean, that's my badge of honor right there. Yeah, I got accepted. Okay, but anyways, praise God. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. So these are the life's what's if, right? Second main cause that brings fear and discouragement that I want to submit to you this morning is what I call life's what's up. Look at your neighbor and say, what's up? What's up? What's up? This I call life's changes. Whether seen or unforeseen, or whether expected or unexpected, these are the major changes in life that brings us from the familiar to the unfamiliar. Example of these life changes are a change in the career or getting laid off of a job. How about this one? The change from having kids to empty nesters. How many empty nesters here? Yeah, right? And when you are already adjusted and happy of having no kids in the house, then all of a sudden they come back. How many agree? This is what I call the boomerang generation. Do you know that there's such a thing? There's a boomerang generation. Kids are coming back to their parents' house because they cannot find a job. But we're happy that they're back though, right? You know. But that's another change that people go through. A change from single to married, then married to single again, whether through divorce or death of a spouse. A change from being young to not so young anymore. Sometimes these changes, if we don't know how to respond, can be very discouraging and difficult. One of our not so young anymore, but he still looks young, is our brother Benji here. Happy birthday, sir. Happy birthday. May God bless you. Amen. The third major cause for fear and discouragement that really hits hard in a person's life is what I call life's what's happening. Look at your neighbor and say, what's happening? Yeah. This is what I call life's crises. These are unfortunate and difficult situations in life that hits us unexpectedly. Whether a sudden death of a loved one through an accident or some unfortunate situation, Or just going to the doctor for a regular checkup and discovering that you have a life-threatening disease. Or finding out that your spouse is having an affair. When life's crisis like this hits your life, your very core will be shaken. And how you respond will truly determine if you will survive and thrive. In these situations, a person will either run to God and find strength and grace to move on in life even when it hurts. This is what I call obeying God even when it hurts. Or they will get mad at God and run away from Him, which is, I believe, will make life more miserable and difficult. And unfortunately, sometimes they lose their purpose in life. And unfortunately, sometimes again, they lose their will to live. Look at me when I say this. If you are here today, and you feel purposeless, just because of the overwhelming things that you are facing in your life, and you just want to throw in the towel and just give up, look at me when I say this. Please do not give up. No matter how difficult or how hard life is, you can go through it. Having faith in God and putting your faith and trust in Him, allowing your emotions to align to His desires for your life, believe me when I say this. Overcoming the storms of life is much better than staying in the storms of life and allowing it to destroy you or kill you. It's worth overcoming it, believe me. It's hard at that moment. It's hard at this moment. And you feel like throwing in the towel. And you feel like you're just breathing one breath after the other and you don't know when to breathe again. But let me say this to you. Please, do not give up. Continue to live your life. That's what God wants for you. Amen. The last main cause of fear and discouragement is what I call life's what will I do. Look at your neighbor and say, what will I do? What will I do? This is what I call life's challenges. All of us go through this. Example of these challenges in life is usually involves financial challenges. Just like what Pastor Fred said earlier, you want to be prosperous, you know, I raise up my hand. These are the financial challenges are trying to make ends meet. Paying off debts and student loans, right? Student loans? Yeah. And sometimes it's relational. Trying to make your marriage work with your spouse. Because a happy wife is a happy... Yes. How about this? Challenges of raising a teenager. How many of you have faced that before or are still facing it today? If your kids are with you, please do not raise up your hand. Okay, but anyways, that's right. Or even taking care of your elderly parents. It could also be work-related too, dealing with a difficult coworker, employer, or boss. These daily challenges, if we don't know how to respond to it, can really take a toll on us, affecting us emotionally and mentally, even to the point of burning out. Now that we have discussed the main causes of why people get discouraged or fearful, I mean, these are the main causes. There are still a lot of reasons why, but these are the main causes that I looked at or submitted to you. As believers in Christ, we need to learn from God's word how to respond when we are faced with these unfortunate situations. So that through God's wisdom and instruction, we can have the right perspective, understanding, and attitude while going through these difficulties in life. This will help us not act upon what we are feeling at that moment, especially if we are in pain, but putting those feelings in check with the truth that we know in God's word. It does not mean that we are not going to feel the hurt and the pain anymore, but knowing God's opinion about our difficult situation will give us the strength to allow those negative feelings to lead, not to allow those negative feelings to allow us to make unwise decisions that can only lead to more hurt and pain. The scripture we're going to look at today is a Song of David, which is in Psalms 27, verse 1 to 6. You know, in the book of Psalms, there are a total of 150 psalms or songs written. And 73 of those psalms were actually ascribed to David. You know, David was not only a military man or a statesman and a king, he was also a poet and a musician. The psalms that he wrote depicted his true character and life. His struggles, failures, repentance, and complaints is seen in his writings. I don't know about you, I always gravitate to the Psalms, especially if I just want to do a quick read. How many of you do that, right? If you don't know what to read from the Bible, you go to the book of Psalms. Why? Because Psalms is very relatable. People gravitate to it because reading it is as if they're reading their own lives, of the struggles and the pain and the complaints and everything that people go through. Some scholars believe that when David wrote the Psalms 27, he was hiding from King Saul in the strongholds. Now, what's the strongholds? Strongholds is a place where it's mountainous and there are caves that people can hide in, especially hiding from someone who wants to kill you. King Saul was consumed of jealousy because of David's success in winning battles for him and because of his growing popularity. You know, David was so popular during that time. Not only that he was winning battles for Saul, that when he would come home from a battle and there was a parade marching in to Jerusalem, you know, or during that time, you know, when he was marching in, you know, the ladies would sing about David and Saul. They would say, you know, I don't want to do it that way. But anyways, they were singing. The ladies would be singing, you know, Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his tens of thousands. And Saul would hear this. And he would get insecure, and the more that he got insecure, the more he became jealous, and the more he became jealous, this thing consumed into his very core that he wanted to kill David, even though David did not do anything wrong against him. Imagine being in the shoes of David. How would you feel when the very person that you are faithfully serving, winning battles for, and at one point even looked at Saul like a father figure to him, is now pursuing you, wanting to take your life, even when you have not done anything wrong against him? Now, this is very relatable, my friends. How many of you know the truth that that what hurts the most in life are the people who's hurting you, and they're the ones who are closest to you? They're the ones who knows you. They know your weakness. They know what you love. They know what you don't love. They know the things about your life. And they, instead of wanting for the best for you, they're the ones there to tear you down. And these are the ones that these are the people who live with you. These are the people who dine with you. These are the people who talk with you. And it hurts because it's not supposed to be that way. David felt the same pain that most of us have felt during that time. But because of God's grace upon his life, he knew what to do. David was running for his life. You know, when he was hiding in the strongholds, some say, like, you know, imagine if you're in the strongholds, David, you know, the person that you are actually serving, you're winning battles for, and then you are here in the cave. You are disillusioned, discouraged, and depressed. Because of the kind of person that he was, he was a worshiper and a writer, so he kind of like channeled those feelings and emotions through the art that God has given him, which is writing the song. So in the midst of a dark, check this out, in the midst of a dark situation, in a dark cave, he wrote this song and he said something like this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength or the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon the rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me, And at his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now this is the way that you get out of depression. Sing your way out of it. Sing the truth of who God is in your life to the situations that you are in. That the situation that you're in right now, that the difficulties that you're facing, that's not what's final. How many of you believe that God has a final say in our lives? How many of you say? Amen. There are four biblical principles that we can learn from the Psalm of David in how he responded and found courage and strength to face life's difficulties. First principle I want to share to you this morning is this. To find courage in facing life's uncertainty, changes, crisis, and challenges, we need to sing a song of focus. Look at your neighbor and say, sing a song of focus. Amen. Which is learning to find strength in God. Now, in verse 1, we can read that David learned how to find strength in God by reminding himself of the truth of who God is in his life. You see, David was not denying the reality of the challenges that was in front of him. He was not practicing what I call positive thinking. He was not doing that. He was practicing what I call truth-telling. He learned to confront those realities by declaring the truth to himself of who God is in his life. Again, we can see in verse 1, when in the midst of a dark situation, David reminded himself, let me say this to you, if you look at this particular verse of scripture, he was not saying it to anybody or to anyone. He was talking to himself. He said to himself, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't know about you, but there are times in my own life while going through my own challenges when I was so down and depressed that no spouse, no preacher, no fellow believer's words can even encourage me. Right? I don't know if I'm the only one who went through it. Have you been through that? These are the moments, just like David, that we need to learn to find this, that we need to learn encouragement and strength in God and in God alone. How many say amen to that? Amen. By speaking the truth to ourselves of who God is in facing the reality of the challenges that is in front of us. In those dark moments when hopelessness, despair, and fear are the very emotions that dominates how we feel and affects how we live, we need to declare with faith in our hearts that the Lord is our light, salvation, and strength. If you constantly speak, listen to this, if you constantly speak the truth of who God is in your situation, then that truth becomes your reality, affecting the way how you feel about your situation, changing your perspective and attitude from a defeated outlook to a hopeful and victorious one. Amen. One of our young people said this, and I quote, salvation finds us in the dark, but does not leave us there. It brings us to the light. Actually, that's another one. He's preaching now with the youth service right now. His name is Kurt Serrano. The second biblical principle I want to share to you this morning that will help us find courage in facing life's uncertainty, changes, crisis, challenges, is that we need to sing a song of faith. Look at your neighbor and say, sing a song of faith. Amen. This is leaning on God to build confidence in facing life's difficulties. How many of you know who John Wesley is? You know who John Wesley is, right? One of famous Christian influencers that had lived in this earth. One day, John Wesley was walking with a troubled man who would express his doubt as to the goodness of God. He said, I don't know what I shall do with all this worry and trouble. At the same moment, Wesley saw a cow looking over a stone wall. Do you know, asked Wesley, why that cow is looking over that wall? No, said the man who was worried. Wesley said, the cow is looking over the wall because she cannot see through it. That is what you must do with your wall of trouble. Look over it and avoid it. What a powerful, powerful statement. Faith enables us to look past our circumstance and focus on Christ. In verse 2 and 3, we can read about David's confidence in God while facing his enemies. By faith, he was able to look over his troubles, right? By faith, he was able to look over his troubles and was able to see how insignificant his enemies were in light of how great his God is. Look at verse 2 and 3. Let me read it for you. When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. You see, he was not trying to deny the trials and the difficulties that he was going through. That's not what the church is trying to teach. You know, we cannot deny our way through life. There are things that we need to confront. But the courage that will give us, you know, the strength and the courage to face those difficulties will be dependent upon the reality and the intimacy of your relationship with God. Amen? If you look at the life of David, progressively he grew in his faith and confidence in God. His faith-filled attitude while facing his enemies developed from one experience to another. When God gave David the strength or the supernatural strength to kill the lion and the bear while watching his father's sheep. Remember that story? Right? God gave him that ability to kill the lion and the bear. This experience became his point of reference in finding courage and confidence to face Goliath. So if you look at the story of David and Goliath, right? And then, you know, David was there, you know, and he was saying to the people that is around the camp that, why, hey, you know what? Who's this guy? Who's this guy insulting the armies of the living God? Who is this guy? You know, he's maybe 16 or 17 years old. He was really young. And then, you know, he was going from one person to another, and his brothers got angry at him because, well, why are you so arrogant and confident? Who are you to say these things? He just didn't mind them and went to another person. Who is this guy insulting the armies of the living God? And then Saul heard about this. And when Saul heard about this, he actually called David into his quarters. And Saul said, like, you know, are you going to fight this guy? I'm just paraphrasing, right? And then, you know, and he actually said, you know, let me just say this to you, King Saul. God gave me the strength to kill the lion and the bear. So his point of reference in facing the Goliath of his life was his experience, his previous experience in how God delivered him. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And you know the end of the story. What was the end of the story? He actually killed Goliath. You see, imagine this. A king who had an army. Do you think it was logical to actually send a 17-year-old boy to face Goliath? Putting the hands, you know, putting into the hands of a 17-year-old boy the demise of the armies of the living God. You know what Saul saw in David during that time? God's anointing. And you know why Saul recognized that? Because he had it before. And he recognized it in David's life. So what I'm trying to say to us today is this. The same way in our own lives, we can develop a faith-filled attitude while facing life difficulties by reminding and using our past experiences with God as a point of reference in finding courage and confidence in facing the difficulties that is in front of us today so that we won't give up. Reminding ourselves that if God has done it before, what? He can do it again. Remember the times. I'm not quoting Michael Jackson, right? But remember the times. Remember how God helped you find that beautiful woman that is next to you right now, who's your wife. Wow. And now you regret it. No, I'm just joking. No. Remember the times. It's good for us to remember how God was faithful to us. Amen. And let me say this to you. Let me say this. Our experiences with God while we are still breathing does not end in one experience. It's going to be continuous. It's from glory to glory. If God has shown himself in the past, guess what? God will show himself to you more now than ever before. Amen. The third biblical principle I want to share to you this morning that will help us find courage in facing life's uncertainty, changes, and crises and challenges, we need to sing a song of praise. Look at your neighbor and say, sing a song of praise. living to worship God and daily dwelling in His presence. In verse 4, there is a sudden change of tone in the song. Instead of David writing about his troubles, he wrote about how he longed to dwell in the presence of the one who can deliver him from all his troubles. Because David was running away from King Saul, he was far away from the place where he usually worshiped God. We can read in this verse, that he was expressing his longing to once again worship God in his temple. Verse 4 says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." David was not longing for the temple or the beauty of the temple. He was longing for the God who was in the temple. This is why the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. Whether near or far from the temple, or whether through good times or the bad, his longing for God never ceases and never changes, exemplifying to us what a true worshiper is all about. C.S. Lewis said, "It is in the process of being worshipped that God communicates his presence to men." How many agree? It is true. There is something powerful about choosing to worship God during our difficult and trying times. This is when he communicates his presence in our situation, giving us a sense of peace, letting us know that he understands and that he is with us. Magnifying the Lord through our songs of praise magnifies his greatness over the challenges we are facing. Therefore, changing our perspective and attitude, giving us courage to persevere and not give up, even though it is uncomfortable, painful, and difficult. You see, this is the beauty of the church. We tell it as it is. We are not trying to wiggle our way out of trouble. We are here to confront the troubles that is in front of us. And God gives us the tools to do that. We are not called to be runners. When I say runners, you don't run away from your problems. You run through it. Amen. Last encouraging point I want to share to you this morning in facing life's uncertainty, changes, crisis, and challenges is that we need to sing a song of victory. Look at your neighbor and say to them, sing a song of victory. Living a hope-filled life because of God's promises. Pastor Mark Batterson said this: negative emotions such as fear keeps us out of trouble. Positive emotions such as hope gets us out of trouble. Our hope in God is anchored in the promises that we have in Him and as His sons and daughters. In verse 5 and 6, we can see that David's hope-filled declaration of God's protection and preservation of his life is founded on the promises that God gave him. David knew that he would be the next king of Israel. Remember that story? He was anointed by Saul. And he knew about God's purpose for his life. That's why in verse 5 and 6, David wrote about God preserving his life, protecting his life, and giving the victory, even when during this time he was still running away from King Saul. So if you read verse 5 and 6, it sounds like this: "For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon the rock. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." See the confidence that David had, even though while he was in the midst of what he was going through, he was already declaring the victory that God has for his life. Now, that's the kind of attitude we should have. While you're in the midst of your storm, talk about how beautiful the day is. While you're in the midst of your pain, yes, you may cry, but talk about that you're just passing through and you're not meant to stay there. Think about how you will grow, how God will be more reflected in your life because in how you respond. And singing a song of victory in your life on a daily basis doesn't mean that you're denying, again, let me repeat myself, doesn't mean that you're denying the things that you're going through in your life. I'm not teaching that. But what I'm teaching to you today is just like David, that we need to confront the realities that is in front of us with the faith that we have in Christ Jesus, knowing and understanding that if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. David's hope-filled attitude helped him persevere through life's difficulty. He never gave up even when he knew that an army was after him, because he held on to the truth that God was for him and not against him. Just like David, may we continue to hold on to God's promises and never lose hope, no matter how difficult and challenging your situation may be. Now, I'm going to conclude right now. Let me conclude. Let me ask you this question. How many of you in this place today, I'm going to ask you to be courageous, okay, because this is about courage, right? So I'm going to ask you to participate in the questions I'm going to ask today. I just want you to be courageous. Don't even think about the person next to you. You know, don't think about what they're going to be thinking about you, but just think about your situation just to help us each other, okay? First one. How many of you in this place today have just gone through a trial? You just have gone through a trial. Please stand up. You have gone through a trial. Please stand up. Have gone. Stand up. Stand. Have gone. Have gone through. Have gone. Yeah. Can we give them a hand? They just survived. They're still here. Amen. Now, for those people who have just gone through a trial, how many of you can attest to me that God is faithful? Raise up your hand. God is faithful, right? That's why you're still here, right? Now, you may take your seat. You may take your seat, okay? Now, the second question I want to ask you today is this. How many of you in this place today are still going through a trial? That you are in the midst of a difficult situation? Now, if that is you, be courageous and please stand up. Please stand up. You're going through a trial right now. Going through a trial. Stand up. Look at the Lord. Yeah, there you go. And here's what I'm going to say. Okay, for those people standing up, look around you. You're not alone. Did you hear what I say? You are not alone. The things that you're going through in your life is really not only familiar to you, but familiar to the people that are standing in front of you this morning. I just want to encourage you that if you feel that you are alone in this situation, remove the lie from your head. You are not alone. You are not alone. Amen. You may take your seats. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:31, again, I'm going to read this. If God is for us, who can be against us, right? But let me just put a qualifying statement here that will help us really claim this verse for us. We can confidently claim what the Apostle Paul said on this verse for our lives and for our situation is by honestly asking ourselves this first question. He said, we always say that if God is for us, who can be against us, right? But we can only claim this verse for our lives if we can answer this first question. Are we truly for God? How can be God for us if we are against Him? Does it make sense? Are we truly for God? If our answer is resounding yes, then yes, we can confidently say that God is for us. But if we are not sure, then we have a chance this morning to humble ourselves before God, surrender our lives to Him, and receive by faith His grace and strength to live for Him and fulfill His purpose for our lives. As we sing this song, I just want you to commune with God. Allow Him to speak to you. Allow Him to really, really encourage you this morning. And as we sing this song, make it your song. Declare it to yourself. Just like David in Psalms 27, he was singing this song to himself. He was saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Let's all stand up. And as we stand up, I just want you to close your eyes, bow down your head. And as we sing this song, make it your song. Your song of focus. Your song of faith. You know, your song of victory. Amen. And it's your song of praise. Let's sing it together.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Hallelujah.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Oh, holy trust in Jesus' name, my hope.
Come on, declare it to your life right now. Come on.
My hope is built on nothing less.
Yes, 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 yes.
Than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
I did not trust the sweetest frame.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
For holy trust in Jesus' name.
Let's lift up our hands. Christ alone. Christ. Lift up our hands. Say this.
In Christ alone.
Declare it. Come on.
In cornerstone.
Come on.
Weak made strong. Woo! In the Savior's love.
Come on. Declare it.
Through the storm.
He's what?
And He is Lord. He is Lord of Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love.
Hallelujah!
Through the storm, He is Lord. You are Lord of all.
Hallelujah! Let's sing one more time.
Christ alone.
You know, the starting point of really being confident in calling upon God and allowing His promises to really encourage us is really this intimate, loving relationship with God. Always remember this. Always remember. God loves you so much. He does. If you're living your life as if God is not present, let me encourage you this morning. Let me encourage you this morning. Come to Him. Come to Him. Come to Him. And allow His love to embrace you this morning. You know, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This verse tells us all of us are sinners. In Romans 6:23, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, meaning that there is payment for our sin, and that is to be eternally separated from God. But the good news is that for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The only thing that He wants us to do is to believe in His Son Jesus, repent of all our sin and come to Him just as we are, and allow His grace and the power of His Spirit to change you so that you can be the person that He created you to be. So this is the starting point. If that is you in this place and if you have not really given your life to Christ and you want to give your life to Jesus, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just between you and God. And if that is you, I really want to pray for you. If you have not given your life to Jesus and you want to give your life, then just quickly raise up your hand so I can pray for you. Anybody in this room? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Raise up your hand. Raise up your hand. If you want to give your life to Jesus, quickly raise up your hand so I can pray for you. Anybody? Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody? Raise up your hand so I can pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Hallelujah. Let me pray for those people who have lifted up their hands, or maybe you have not lifted up your hand, but you want to give your life to Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come before You today just as I am, a sinner needing a Savior. thank you for your amazing love for me. That while we were yet sinners, you died for us on the cross. And I come before you asking for your forgiveness. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I come asking you, in the name of your Son Jesus, that you open up my eyes to see the truth of who you are in my life. Give me the grace from this day on to live for you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. God bless you.